In this, our well-advertised modern world, crammed with engines, death-dealing shells, life-dealing serums and science, he who listens to old wives' tales is counted idle. He who believes them, a superstitious fool. Yet there are some legends which have a strange deathless habit of recrudescence in many languages and lands. Of one such, I have a story to tell. It was related to me by a well-known specialist in nervous diseases, not as an instance of the possible truth behind fable, but as a curious case in which, I quote his words, the delusions of a diseased brain were reflected by a second and otherwise sound mentality. No doubt his view was the right one, and yet at the finish I had the strangest flash of feeling. As if somewhere, sometime, I, like young Wharton, had stood and seen against blue sky, Elva of the sky-hued scarf and the yellow honeysuckles. But my part is neither to feel nor surmise. I will tell the story as I heard it, save for substitution of fictitious names for the real ones. My quotations from the Red Notebook are verbatim. Theron Tadamus, AAS, FES, DS, etc., occupied the chair of biology in a not unfamed university. He was the author of a treatise on cytology, since widely used as a textbook, and of several important brochures on the more obscure infusoria. As a boy, he had been, in appearance, a romantically charming person. The age of 37 found him still handsome in a cold, fine-drawn manner, but almost inhumanly detached from any save scientific interests. Then, at the height of his career, he died. Having entered his classroom with intent to deliver the first lecture of the fall term, he walked to his desk, laid down a small red notebook, turned, opened his mouth, went ghastly white, and subsided. His assistant, young Wharton, was first to reach him, and first to discover the shocking truth. Tadamus was unmarried, and his will bequeathed all he possessed to the university. The little red book was not at first regarded as important. Supposed to contain notes for his lecture, it was laid aside. On being at last read, however, by his assistant in course of arranging his papers, the book was found to contain, not notes, but a diary covering the summer just past. Barring the circumstances of one peculiar incident, Wharton already knew the main facts of that summer. Tadamus, at the insistence of his physician, the specialist aforesaid, had spent July and August in the Carolina Mountains, not far north from the famous resort Asheville. Dr. Locke was friend as well as medical advisor, and he lent his patient the use of a bungalow he owned there. It was situated in a beautiful but lonely spot, to which the nearest settlement was Carcassonne. In the valley below stood a tiny railroad station, but Carcassonne was not built up around this, nor was it a town at all in the ordinary sense.